There goes Bautista. 3-2 pitch. Hammered deep left field. Long, high drive. Yes, sir. Let's admire that one. A two-run home run for hot-hitting Edwin Encarnacion. A second deck shot. And the Blue Jays are in flight, leading Texas 2-0.
There it is. First inning, two-run homer by Edwin Encarnacion is your play of the game, brought to you by Speed Boost from Rogers. Hello, Speed Boost. Goodbye waiting. Another first, only from Rogers, gets the Blue Jays on the board immediately. And we thought it might be Edwin's last home run as a Blue Jay, but he survived the trade deadline. And so did everybody else. As it appears as though the Blue Jays did not make a move today, certainly nothing has come down the pipe to this point. And we are 36 minutes past the trade deadline. We do know that Encarnacion and Jose Molina and Frank Francisco all played in this game after the deadline. One would think that that means none of them have been traded. Encarnacion did come out. He was pinch hit for in the bottom of the eighth, but he played the top of the eighth after 4 o'clock Eastern time. So we're assuming no deals. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. And what a tremendous day at the ballpark today. A great ceremony for Roberto Alomar prior to the game. Cito Gaston was here, Robbie's parents, Paul Beeston, John McDonald spoke, Devon White, Candy Maldonado, Dwayne Ward, Kelly Gruber. Carlos Baerga even made it. And then Brandon Morrow goes out and sets a season high with 11 strikeouts. Encarnacion goes deep in the first. The Blue Jays score in each of the first four innings. And Colby Rasmus caps the Jays scoring with a two-run double to deep right center field. He had singled in the third. And everybody's happy now. A great day for the Blue Jays as they take down the Texas Rangers 7-3. And they wind up taking the season series from the defending American League champions and a team that's still in first place now by 2 games over the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The Jays win 6 out of 10 against the Rangers. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Jays Talk. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. Let's get to your calls. We start with Tony in London. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. A couple of things. First of all, I'm glad the Blue Jays finally broke that annoying habit of matching the Leafs where they don't retire numbers in recognition of a player's contribution during his career. And I'd like to see that extended to Dave Steeve and Tony Fernandez and Carlos Delgado and eventually Roy Halladay. Also, of course, the idea is that Roberto made the Hall of Fame as a Blue Jay, certainly some of the others are long past that.
I don't know if you want to go too crazy on the retiring numbers. I mean, Hall of Famers are one thing, but, you know, I like the idea of the level of excellence. I like the idea of there being another level. A Hall of Famer is a Hall of Famer, and that's a whole different thing.
I realize that. But, again, there's a tenure, the length of service for a player to a team. Now on the trade deadline, Mike, I was listening on the Cleveland radio this morning, and they were really chewing over the Jimenez deal. And media pretty well don't like the deal, figuring they gave up too much in a couple of their top two first-round draft choice the last few years. Alex White, and eventually they'll have to...
Drew Pomeranz is going to, yes.
August 18th, because he hasn't been a
right.
year...
yes.
Yeah. And, but interesting point that the fans were sort of split, and they made the point that there's an a window of opportunity open for Cleveland this year because of the standings, and also next year also, and that... Detroit and the White Sox are aging, the Twins are hurting. But for the Blue Jays, you know, this harkens back to the days of J.P. Ricciardi saying, we're in the American League East. And whenever is that window of opportunity open for the Jays with the Yankees in Boston? And I'm hoping that that again, this goes back to ownership. If indeed, let's say the Blue Jays are in this position where Cleveland is in the standings next year at the trade deadline, then they will, well, not a deal like Jimenez, I have my doubts about that too, but a deal similar to that where they will make that next step forward.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate the call. And I think that's one of the reasons that you collect prospects. It's one of the reasons why you try to gather as much talent as you possibly can. One of the reasons is so that you can trade some of them. And they did it with Zach Stewart and Mark Zepchinski. Involving the deal involved them to trade for Colby Rasmus. They're not afraid to use young talent in deals. And now is definitely not the time for the Blue Jays to make a run at it. They're 10 games out with one-third of the season left to play. Four teams in between them and a playoff spot, and now's not the time. But when it is, I do expect that the Jays will be just as aggressive as the Cleveland Indians have been. And I really like seeing that deal. And you can fall in love with your prospects, and you can fall in love with your kids. But Ubaldo Jimenez has accomplished some stuff in this game at the major league level. And I like it. Patrick is in Mississauga. Hey, Patrick.
Yeah, hi. I just want to congratulate you and your wife on your 12-year wedding anniversary.
Thank you very much.
And I'm a man of numbers, so it's interesting that it's your 12th year, one day after Alomar's number 12 is retired.
Bit of a stretch, but okay. If it was today, I would give it to you.
Anyways, I meant to phone you, too, on Jojo Reyes. I'm a Jojo Reyes fan. And I think you'll find that since he got his first win in Toronto, he was on the plus side. He had more wins than losses at the time that he was let go.
Yeah, but he was pitching horribly.
Well, he can't be pitching horribly if he's got a plus record.
Sure he can. He was 5-5 over his last 11 starts with the Blue Jays, Jojo Reyes. But his ERA was over 6. And he was allowing more than 1.5 base runners every inning. He was pitching terribly, and the Blue Jays were scoring a bunch of runs.
I guess that's what happened, all right. Because I know that the Blue Jays also had a plus record over the time that he was pitching.
No, they were 9-11 overall in his 20 starts. Yeah.
No, yeah, but I mean, since the time that he won his first game, though,
Probably. Yeah, they were probably on the plus side since his first win on. That's not unfair. But the one loss record is one of the worst ways.
I guess.
Worst
so.
Ways to evaluate what a pitcher's doing.
Yeah. And I do have another pet peeve here, and that is the squeeze play. I think the squeeze play should only be tried when you're at home. It's a tie ball game, and it's in the ninth inning, and there's two guys out. You want to win on that play.
There's really no point in squeezing with two out because the guy who bunts is probably going to get out.
Well, that's the only thing that makes sense and for me, because to give up an out for nothing, you know, it wouldn't make sense.
Well, run's not nothing, Patrick. Runs are very often very hard to come by.
That's true.
I don't love the bunt either. I love the bunt when it scores a run. That's good stuff. And I love the bunt for a base hit. But I don't know exactly what you're talking about when you say the squeeze play, whether you mean any sort of bunt or whether you just mean a bunt that's going to drive in a run.
I mean there's a guy on third.
Yeah.
And you want to get that run in, and it's the bottom of the ninth, and you're at home.
So okay.
If that runner scores, then you win the ball game.
Yes.
If you do it on the road, you don't win the ball game.
But you score the run.
You score the run, but you don't win the ball game.
Yes, but you score the run, which is better than not scoring the run.
Well, I suppose.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I appreciate the call.
Celebrate your anniversary well tomorrow.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that a great deal. I'm not advocating the suicide squeeze at all points in time all the time, depending on the hitter, depending on the situation. It's not always a terrible idea, but there are not a lot of times where I want to see a bunt. Jay is in St. John, New Brunswick. Hey, Jay.
How you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you?
Attaboy. Listen, there was reports down here that him and his, like, the Blue Jays were interested.
They're interested in everybody.
Yeah, I imagine they are.
Yep.
But you know what? I like what they did this week with Rasmus. I love their outfield. But do you think Snyder's days are done or what? Should we move him along?
I hope not.
I would. I would keep Thames out there, move Valdez out there, and keep Rasmus out there. And then they're bringing Lowry up, so hopefully this week. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah. I'll tell you this, and I mentioned this, I think, on the live chat earlier today. Out of all the Blue Jays prospects who are under 25, not even prospects, out of all the Blue Jays who are under 25 right now, and that includes Thames, and that includes Rasmus, and I believe that Travis Snyder is going to be the best of the bunch. When all is said and done, when you take the final tally, I believe that Travis Snyder is going to be the best of all the Blue Jays who are currently under 25 years old.
Yeah.
I would be... If they trade him without getting an incredible bounty back, they will regret that deal. But you know what the thing is? Alex Anthopoulos is not reactionary. And Alex Anthopoulos doesn't make knee-jerk decisions. And he understands that it takes a long time for players to develop into the players that you want them to be. So they're not going to move Travis Snyder for a bag of balls.
Right. Now, what about moving, leaving Bautista at third then and putting Lowry at second?
No. And I know that this, you know, we're going to, I think we may soon change the name of this program to Brett Lowry's Not Playing Second Base. Because okay. We do talk about it every day here on the Jays Talk. But Brett Lowry didn't move off of second base because Aaron Hill was there. Brett Lowry moved off of second base because the Blue Jays didn't like him at second base.
Okay, I got one more just quick question.
Yep.
What's Lyle Overpaid going to do now that they got leaked?
I don't know. Lyle Overpaid hit a two-run homer today, so that's kind of nice.
Well, he's got some pressure on him now.
So he doesn't have a starting job anymore, I think.
Exactly.
I think, and it's too bad, but you know what? He didn't hit well this year, and... They improved. They're in a pennant race, and good for them. And Lyle will have to be a bat off the bench and get some starts against some tough righties, and hopefully he can help the Pirates make it into the playoffs, because that would be just fantastic to see. Byron is in Toronto. Hey, Byron.
Michael, I was at the game today, and I made sure I got there early to get to the last bobblehead at 11:30. I did.
Oh, good, good.
But I wanted to kind of get your impression. If you saw the pregame ceremonies, I thought that the Blue Jays, Toronto Blue Jays Baseball Club, they put on such an emotional display. It was almost like, I felt like I was in Yankee Stadium, that it was just drawn out and proud. And, you know, they commissioned that road journey to Cooperstown, which people should watch on TSN.
On Sportsnet.
Or Sportsnet.
Thank you.
My goodness, sorry. Oh, sorry. You probably cut me off for that. But
never call again.
What did you think of the opening ceremony?
I thought it was great. You know what? I thought it was great. And as I mentioned to Alan during the ceremony, we don't get a lot of those here in Toronto. And it's great that they really do it upright, because you can drop the ball on these sorts of things, and it can be cheesy, or it can be overdone, or it can be underdone, but it was perfect. It was tremendous.
Perfect. When they had the RCMP in their red tunics
that
walking
was cool,
down
huh?
the aisles, like, holy cow. And then just you know, in closing, I mean, it was so nice today that they won, and I got to give my hats off to Farrell, because it was a lineup that, you know, Encarnacion playing first, and like, when he played first, not only did he start off the first inning like getting that home run, you know, but he got three putouts to the pitcher in the row in the seventh and the top of the eighth. It was whoever thought you'd comment on his great defense.
Edwin Encarnacion is a very good defensive player. His problems have always been with the throwing. He doesn't seem to have a problem with throwing underhand. It's true. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And you know what? I'm glad you made that point, because on Twitter this morning, after the Blue Jays lineup came out, I got maybe a half dozen tweets from people saying, aren't they trying to win on Roberto Alomar Day? Why would they start a lineup like this? They're not going to get any hits. This is a horrible lineup. And they go out there and they win the ball game and they score 7 runs in the first 4 innings. So it was really terrific. And it's great to see the Blue Jays perform well in front of a packed house. We've had a lot of packed houses in the past where the Jays have gotten thumped. And that did not happen in the least today. We are Jays Talking It Up. Blue Jays take down the Texas Rangers 7-3. Let's go to Clifton in Etobicoke. Clifton.
Yeah, so, Mike, now, I thought I was the only one who would think that Cedar Gaston was an all-time great manager.
No, Roberto Alomar is right there with you.
Okay, sir. I'm glad that I'm in good company. You know what? I was thinking about this today. Now, those two World Series championships.
Yep.
Now, we always hear about how pitching should shut down offense. And, you know, when you look at the Atlanta Braves pitching staff that year, you know, with Maddox, Smoltz, Glavin. But I was more impressed the following year, man, in the ALCS, when they take on those White Sox. Jack McDowell, Alvarez, Fernandez. Now, the Blue Jays pitching staff, sir, that year, to me, was not better than those teams. Plus, they had a great closer. His name escaped. I was trying to remember his name.
The White Sox?
Yeah, that year, yeah.
The White Sox closer in 93. Was it Bobby Thigpen?
I think so, yeah.
I think it might have been.
Yeah. And then they had one of the all-time great first basemen at the time, the Big Hurt.
Yes.
That was a solid team. Bo Jackson was on that team. So, you know, like, I always enjoy listening to all these people when they clump these things together, saying that, you know, like, those teams were so great that you didn't need a manager to manage those teams.
Yeah,
and that,
you know,
to
what?
Me is rubbish.
You're absolutely right. And I've heard that before, too. And you know, I've had my differences with Cito Gaston and disagreed with some of the stuff that he's done. There's no question about that. But the notion that anyone could have managed those teams and would have won the World Series is ridiculous. It didn't have to be Cito, but there's certainly not too many people who just walk in and manage a team to the World Series. You talk to anybody off those 92 and 93 teams, they would run through a wall for him, no question about it. Roberto Alomar said that he's the best manager he's ever played for, and he's played for a lot of them, and a lot of them have had some pretty good careers. No question about that. The idea that anyone could have managed those Blue Jays teams to a championship is thoroughly ridiculous. Thank you, Clifton. Appreciate the call. The Blue Jays beat the Rangers 7-3. John Farrell managing them to victory today and to a 15-11 month of July. The Jays are now 2 games over 500, and in August, they don't play a single team who is in a playoff spot right now. In July, they had 3, 6, 10, 14, 17, 20 games against teams that are currently in a playoff spot. They have none in the month of August, which begins tomorrow with an off day. The Jays stand pat at the trade deadline, but they did kind of make that big move earlier in the week. They take down the Rangers 7-3. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, a tremendous afternoon here for the Blue Jays as they honor Roberto Alomar prior to the game and then go out and thump the Texas Rangers 7-3 to end July at 55-53. We are now at the two-thirds pole of the season. And in the final third, again, the month of August, the Blue Jays do not face a playoff team, and they won't until September 2nd. But then, from September 2nd on, you got 6 with the Yankees, you got 6 with the Red Sox, and 3 with the White Sox, who may well get in there by then. Let's take a quick look at the scoreboard. Find out what's going on around the major leagues today. As far as the trades were concerned, you just heard about that three-team trade. The Boston Red Sox picking up Eric Bedard. The Pittsburgh Pirates get Ryan Ludwig from the San Diego Padres. These Rangers get Mike Adams from the San Diego Padres. Heath Bell did not get moved. Wandy Rodriguez did not get moved. Denard Span did not get moved. But there was still plenty of action. And as far as the games went, the Yankees went out and beat Baltimore 4-2. The Red Sox are now leading the White Sox 4-3 in the bottom of the seventh inning. Justin Verlander took a no-hitter into the eighth inning before beating the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim 3-2. The Cleveland Indians are home to the Kansas City Royals, and they just lost. It's gone final 5-3, so the Indians drop now 2.5 games back in the American League Central Division. As far as the National League is concerned, we'll take a look at that too and tell you that the Reds beat up on the Giants 9-0. Florida took down the Braves 3-1. Washington over the Mets 3-2. It is 5-5, Pirates and Phillies. They're in the top of the 10th inning. Raul Ibanez has homered twice. Lyle Overbay has a two-run shot for the Pittsburghs. Milwaukee beat Houston 5-4. So the Brewers extend their lead on St. Louis now to 2 games in the NL Central. But Cardinals playing the Cubs tonight, looking for the sweep. Chicago has lost 5 games in a row. The Blue Jays have tomorrow off to enjoy Simcoe Day in Tampa, Florida. I don't know quite how you do that, but they're going to try. Back at it on Tuesday to open up a 3-game set with the Rays. We're on at 7 Eastern for a 7:10 first pitch. Ricky Romero against David Price. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Rogers, a proud partner of the Toronto Blue Jays. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. Any accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Roberto Alomar, why not? Jerry Howarth, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Dylan Brown, Joe Sicilia, Joel McFadden, I'm Mike Wilner. Have a great long weekend. Good afternoon from Rogers Center.